There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Working hard is worth it if you're seeing results. And when it comes to working out, the same thing is true. You want the maximum benefit in the time you have, and that's exactly what Tonal is built for. And with their latest iteration, Tonal 2, you can ensure your workout is more tailored and effective than ever. Tonal's at-home strength training system uses adaptive weight to learn from your movement and set the optimal weight for every move, adjusting in one-pound increments up to 250 pounds, challenging even the most advanced users to push their limits. You can also experience a full body burn with the new Aero HIIT workouts, the perfect blend of heart-pumping cardio and strength. Plus, the new built-in Smart View leverages a high-resolution camera that lets you see yourself during your workout, analyzes your movement, and provides real-time coaching, just like a personal trainer. Right now, Tonal is offering our listeners $200 off your Tonal purchase with promo code 200TONAL. That's Tonal.com and use promo code 200TONAL for $200 off your purchase. That's Tonal.com. Promo code 200TONAL for $200 off.
Andy Staples on 3 Sports joining us on Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. It's always great to have you on board. And as you join the show and join the video, podcast, radio, YouTube, whatever it is, make sure you hit that like button and subscribe to the channel. Always helps us out tremendously. So, Andy, we kind of have a little bit of a breather now in the wake of college football season being all wrapped up. And for the Big 12, I mean, it was a totally unpredictable year. Arizona State was picked to finish dead last. They get to the playoff. When you look at this conference in year one of this new 16-team conglomeration, did it exceed expectations? Did it meet them? Or did it come up short?
Oh, I think it met all my expectations. I expected it to be completely wild, and it was, and November to be just incredible in terms of how many different teams were involved. I mean, you think about going into the last day of the season, there were, Baylor and Texas Tech were still theoretically alive for the championship game. I mean, that was incredible.
And what about Arizona State and just the year they had? No one really saw it coming. Do you think it's sustainable under Kenny Dillingham, or is this going to be one of those, hey, that was a great 2024 season for Arizona State. What happened to them? How do you think the future is going to bear out for these guys?
I think it's sustainable, and I think year over year, because Sam Levitt's back, it makes it much more sustainable. And also Jordan Tyson being back. I mean, you lose Cam Scataboo, so that is a huge piece of the offense. But people forget Jordan Tyson didn't play in the two most important games of the season. And that's a really productive receiver that, most teams would kill to have. So I'm excited about what they can do. And you think about what Kenny took over, that he did that in year two is phenomenal. It's absolutely because, we talk about what Coach Prime had to do at Colorado and what he took over and how bad that situation was. Arizona State was almost as bad. That the fallout from the Herm Edwards regime and everybody leaving, and they had to replace almost as many players as Colorado did. Like, it was a tough deal, and you weren't sure how this, this young guy, Kenny's he's still the youngest FBS head coach, definitely the youngest Power Conference head coach. How would he handle all that? How would he handle rebuilding the roster, and would he be able to get everybody up and not only rebuild the roster, brought in some incredible talent like Cam Scataboo, and then made them believe that they could do this when no one else did.
Do you think that Big 12 schools will benefit with this transfer portal craziness going on, where they can maybe get a 4 or 5-star guy that's sitting in the too deep somewhere and can't get a rep? Or is it still going to be a struggle for them because so many top players will have opportunities to go to Big Ten SEC schools because the money's just bigger there right now?
Well, it just depends, because you look at what Texas Tech did.
Yeah.
Texas Tech said, we're going to go out and get the best we can get out of the transfer portal, and we're going to spend $10 million to do it if we have to. And by God, they did. I mean, they went and got a bunch of guys who were contributors at Power Conference programs where it's not that easy to do that. Like, everybody's like, oh, you know, you just go fix everything in the portal. No, you can't. There are not that many power conference difference makers available in the transfer portal. But the ones that are very expensive. And Texas Tech said, you know what? We're going to get them. And by God, they did.
When you talk to these coaches, Andy, like you do, and we're in the Wild West more so than ever, it seems like, as cliche as it is in college football, do they like where this is at right now, or are they just basically waiting and begging for somebody to take over and give us some guardrails on this entire system?
Oh, they hate where it's at. You have to recruit the players. But the thing is, everybody thinks it's about the money. They don't care about the money. I mean, most coaches would tell you they feel like the coaches are overpaid. So they don't care about what money the players get. That's just the market working. But not having any contracts, not being able to enforce any contracts, people being available to transfer pretty much every day, that's the problem. That's what you're dealing with there. And so, yeah, they would love for some rules to happen. The problem is it's not them. It's not the coaches. And it's really not the ADs. It's the university presidents who need to understand, like, You've got to stop pretending you're not paying them for football. You got to stop pretending they're not employees. Once you stop all of that and start negotiating with them, you can actually create some rules that you can enforce.
Now, it may be just naivete on my part, but why can't programs just start basically saying, we're giving you this money and this is a one-year deal to play football here, and we're not going to have these mid-season conversations about more money and any of this stuff? I mean,
they're in court saying they're not employees, and that's an employment contract.
Yeah. So it really just comes down to this thing has to get through the courts first.
No, they can stop pretending anytime they want.
They can. Okay. But how does that, why would they not do that then? Like, what's the reason for that?
Because they're stupid. I mean, there's really no other way to describe it. Like, you've seen how they've managed this all along. They got themselves in this mess because they were intransigent. They refused to change. They refused to budge. And eventually it all came crashing down because they kept losing in the court system. And now there is no chance of them ever winning in the court system because basically they keep saying, well, we want to make this rule. Of course, they're like, okay, you bargained that, right? With labor, right? Well, no, we just want to make the rule. Well, that's illegal. You're competitors. You can't do that. Like, you over here, Kansas State, if you would like to say, we only want to spend so much on football salaries, that's great. That's your prerogative. But you can't get together with Iowa State and decide how much you're going to spend. That's against the law. Now, if Kansas State, Iowa State, Texas Tech, all of them got together and then talked to all the players in the Big 12 and said, hey, we think the salary pool should be 25% of all the revenue. And the players are like, you know, that sounds reasonable. Then there'd be a cap.
Yeah.
That's how it works in all the other sports.
Oh, gosh. I mean, you just wonder the burnout, too. I mean, what are coaches that you talk to feeling on this front? Are we going to have just a higher churn and burn rate from these guys until it gets figured out? Or is the money just too attractive?
If they can get to the NFL, they go to the NFL.
Yeah,
because it's the same job without the bullshit. Like, it is, there's so much less of it, and you're just dealing with football, and you're making about the same money or more money in some cases, and it's a, you know, prestige level. But there's only so many jobs in the NFL, and the college coaching jobs still pay pretty well. So it's sort of like me as a sports writer. Like, when I work for Sports Illustrated or at The Athletic or even out on Three, like, I could go to my boss and be like, hey, I think I'm underpaid. And he'd be like, that's cool. If you quit, 1,000 people will apply for your job tomorrow. And that's pretty much how college coaching is too. You can complain about it all you want if you're the linebackers coach at Houston or the linebackers coach at BYU. But 1,000 people will apply for your job if you leave.
Yeah. And they're still pretty lucrative. I mean, even the assistant gigs. I mean, heck, you get to the high levels and Jim Knowles has reset the market at what, $3 million for a coordinator? I mean,
oh, Pete, there are, let's see if I'm counting this right. There are six defensive line coaches, not defensive coordinators, defensive line coaches who make over $1 million.
Wow.
It's insane.
That is nuts. And I know Colorado just lost their D-line coach to Miami. Prime was trying to get some more money for his assistants. What do you think, you know, with some flirtation with Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys, was that anything? And if so, what does it mean for Prime going forward in Colorado?
I would have taken the Cowboys job if offered, if I were Prime, but I don't think they offered it to him. I don't think Prime was what they were looking for. And that is not a knock on Prime. I think it's more of a knock on Jerry, because I actually think Prime would have done a good job. But you know, it seems like he's in at Colorado. Like, he's not trying to get out of it. But look, if he's good and wins at Colorado without Shadur and without Travis Hunter, there will be other people come along, because they'll say, you've done a great job here in a situation that most coaches would consider to be very difficult. So other people will come along. But, you know, like you said, you're trying to find more money. He hires Marshall Faulk as his running back coach, which I'm fascinated to see how that works, because I actually agree with Dion when he talks about this, because he's talked about this in the past, where, you know, there's this thing in coaching where if you didn't, you know, you didn't do it the right way, you didn't start as a GA and then work your way up and go get people coffee and work 23 hours a day. Well, Marshall Faulk has some things to offer that maybe that guy doesn't have to offer. So I say maybe you give Marshall Faulk the benefit of the doubt and see what happens. And, like, yeah, they just lost their D-line coach to Miami. Now, there's a pretty interesting former NFL and college defensive tackle on Colorado staff right now. Got a gold jacket.
Yep.
He could be the second assistant with a gold jacket behind Marshall Faulk. But Warren Sapp's already an analyst there. Like, kind of wonder, would he want to do the position coach job? I'm very curious about this. But I think the way Dion and that group coached that team last year, like, you saw them get better on both lines of scrimmage.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I was doubting. And they proved me completely wrong. And happy to say that. Like, they got better. They coached them well. Dion realized strategically, schematically, there were some things he was doing year one that maybe didn't jive with what he wanted to do long term. And it looked like he hit the panic button, like when he demoted Sean Lewis in year one. It was a panic button move when it happened, but you understood after you saw what the offense turned into this year. Okay, he was doing that for a reason, because he feels like he would like to do it this way. He can recruit to this personnel. You know, when you got Shadur, you can run that offense with Pat Shurmur. Now, I'm interested to see how that evolves, because they have a high profile freshman in Julian Lewis coming in at quarterback, but also they go get Caden Salter from Liberty. My assumption is you get Caden Salter to be your bridge guy. He's your starter this year as you get Julian Lewis ready.
So you talk about some of those teams that are hitting the portal hard. We talked about Colorado, Texas Tech. The old school way, you know, I put up my air quotes when I say that, the Iowa State way, the Kansas State way, not a lot of portal guys coming in, leaving those programs. That's how Chris Klieman likes it. That's how Matt Campbell likes it. Is that still sustainable, or are those guys going to get stuck in the past with that model?
Oh, I think it still works. I mean, like, in with the big money SEC and Big Ten programs that can really compete for the national title, that's how you win the national title still. Like, you don't win national title in transfer portal. The Ohio State team, we talked about the transfers they brought in. They had 9 transfers on the whole team. Most of those guys were recruited out of high school. And you're going to find the best programs still have a basis of recruited out of high school talent, especially on the lines of scrimmage. That's where your K-States and your Iowa States are going to have an advantage, because they're good at that. They're good at developing people. They bring in recruits who expect to be developed. They don't go in expecting to, I'm going to play right away and then I'm bouncing. Like, they go, they understand the deal before they get there. And I think it's kind of a self-selecting sample. That's who Chris Klieman and Matt Campbell are looking for, and that's who they get. And I think that helps you probably with continuity. It helps you from going like this as a program. And so, look, K-State won a Big 12 title in 2022. Iowa State played for one last year. I expect Iowa State to be right back in the thick of it this year. I expect K-State to be back in the thick of it this year. So I think what they're doing works where they are.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Matt Campbell, another offseason, his name just every offseason like clockwork comes up for jobs. I mean, this time it was like NFL jobs, at least had some rumors out there.
The Bears, the interview with the Bears.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, what is Matt Campbell going to be Bill Snyder at Iowa State?
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Or at some point, do you think he'll end up pulling the trigger here?
It's a great question. I wrote a column when he interviewed with the Bears, because he interviewed with the Lions when Dan Campbell got the job. Yeah. He actually interviewed with the Jets, I think, when Robert Saleh got it. And I think Matt Campbell is the type of college coach, if you were an NFL team looking for a college coach, that's who you should be looking for. Because a lot of these very successful college coaches, well, why are they successful? Because they get the best players every year and they just beat people over the head with an abundance of talent. You don't have that talent gap in the NFL. You can be the best team in the NFL, like the Eagles, for example. They're still not going to be that much better than the 32nd best team in the NFL. And you can lose on any given day. Matt Campbell almost always plays at a talent disadvantage. And look at his record. Look at it and look at his record. I don't have it in front of me. I wrote this in a column a couple months ago. His record relative to the previous four head coaches at Iowa State is incredible. Mm-hmm. Just incredible. And the fact that he does this in this environment with a talent advantage almost talent disadvantage almost every time, that's what you would want if you were an NFL team. Like, he can take his and beat yours, or take yours and beat yours. Whereas I don't know if some of these coaches that just accumulate talent, I don't know if they can do that necessarily. I know Matt Campbell can do that, but he's been very selective. He seems to love it at Iowa State. They seem to understand him. So if I were him, I wouldn't move anywhere unless it was the perfect job. If an NFL team wanted to hire me, or, you know, Ryan Day decides to retire at some point and Ohio State wants him to come back to his home state, something like that. But other than that, stay with a place that you're happy, they're happy with the job you're doing, and you're doing things that nobody's ever done there.
And let's be honest, too. I mean, you know, listen, these guys are making, even Matt Campbell's making millions of dollars. Your lifestyle going from 6 to 8 million doesn't really change to take a Big Ten job where no one's loyal to you, right? I mean, do you have those conversations with these coaches? Does that come up?
We've talked about it. And now Mark Stoops got mad at me for calling Kentucky the best job in America. But it is the best job in America. They will pay you $9 million a year and they don't want to fire you when you go 8-4.
Yeah, like, that's great.
Everywhere else that'll pay you $9 million. If you go 8-4, they're pissed.
Yeah.
So, like, that's the thing. I think you're right. And I don't think we consider that. Now, a lot of it with the coaches is none of them ever expected to make any money in this when they got into it. So they're just as surprised as everybody else. And they're not making decisions based on money either. They're saying, I want to go do this. I want to win national championships, or I want to try to get to the NFL. Or they all have their own personal goals that don't revolve around money. But I think there are coaches who have taken a step back and said, okay, I can go to this job and make an extra $3 million a year, which is a ton of money, but I already make a ton of money. And these people aren't going to fire me if I have a 7-win season. Mm-hmm. And everybody else going to want, you know, this other job, they're going to want to run me out of town. Yeah. So I do think they're coaches that think, but I had the conversation with David Cutcliffe a while back, and David Cutcliffe was one when he got to Duke. Cause remember, he had been good at Ole Miss, and they fired him a little prematurely. Like, that, he had one bad year and they fired him, which was not smart. But then he comes back as a head coach at Duke and he has some success. Remember, he had Duke in the ACC championship game, and he got some interest, and he's like, you know what? I don't think I want to go through that again. I don't think I want to deal with that again. I'm at a place here where they respect me. They love me. They pay me fairly. So why don't I just stay here?
Yeah. That's so true. It's a great point. When you look at Andy, you know, two of the teams that just had shockingly bad seasons in the conference, obviously Oklahoma State and Utah come to mind. They've got two of the longest tenured head coaches in the entire sport in Kyle Whittingham and Mike Gundy. I don't want to use the word pressure because they're both staples there, but if you were to say one of these guys has more pressure next year, who would you say that is?
Gundy, because they made him take a pay cut and basically they held everything hostage until he agreed to reduce his salary and reduce his buyout. Whittingham, I think, is in a little different place. Whittingham's successor's already been picked. Yep. So like that's another thing, is it's just a matter of when he wants to pass the baton. Now, you've met Kyle Whittingham. Like, that guy's not, he's not getting tired anytime soon. No. So, but I think Utah comes back in a big way. I like that some very bad quarterback injuries, situations, luck. You know, I think they probably realized that Cam Rising, as great as he was for them and winning two Pac-12 titles for them, because of the injury history, that was a risky move going with him last year. And so when they found out that Cam Rising might have another year of eligibility, I think everybody kind of shut it down real quick. We're like, no, we're moving on here.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And, you know, Spencer Fanoh might be the best offensive lineman in the country. I don't know that a lot of people are talking about him, but he was incredible his first 2 years at Utah. And, you know, he's going into his junior year. He's going to be one of those guys that's on every NFL list for the 2026 draft. But when you have traditionally good trench play, which Utah does, and they'll have really good trench play again this year, I think you can weather some of that stuff. And so, you know, if they can keep a quarterback healthy and upright, I think they're back and they are very much in the mix for the Big 12 title.
Andy, two coaches in this league making homecomings, Rich Rodriguez at West Virginia, Scott Frost at UCF. Who are you more high on with those two reunions?
I think Rich Rod is in a good place right now. He understands West Virginia better than pretty much anybody. West Virginia understands Rich Rod now. I think they both understand each other, because remember when he leaves from Michigan the year before, he'd been offered the Alabama job. He actually accepted it for a few minutes and then changed his mind. So now he understands, like, this is a retirement type job. Like, I want to be here a long time. And West Virginia, I think they really have accepted, like, yeah, it's harder to win in the Big 12 than it was in the Big East. This is not that easy. Because, you know, I remember walking out of that stadium after the 2018 West Virginia-Oklahoma game.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the season. You know, that was the best team Dana Holgorsen had at West Virginia. Is it Will Greer, David Long, tons of good players. And they lose to Oklahoma. They would have made the Big 12 championship game had they won that game. And I remember hearing the people talk, like the fans, and it's like, oh, I got to get rid of that guy. He's never going to win it. And I'm like, that's the best team he's going to have here for a few years. Like, it's only going to go downhill from here. And I do think after a few more years of this, West Virginia fans do understand their job is difficult. It's not easy to win there. And so now you bring back a guy who did win there, who understands. And, you know, Rich is sort of taking the hard way, because he gets fired at Arizona. He goes to Jacksonville State, and he, you know, jokes about running into Urban Meyer and his wife. And this is when Urban Meyer's coaching the Jaguars, and the wives are talking, and it's, oh, Jacksonville. Well, you'll have to come over. They're like, not that Jacksonville. Like, this Jacksonville, Alabama. So it has been a kind of long road for him, but I'm excited to see what he does, because I don't think he forgot how to coach. I mean, you watched him at Jacksonville State. Like, that team was tough. It looked like all his old West Virginia teams looked, just in the Sun Belt. So I think he'll do a good job. He understands where you have to draw talent from there, which is a kind of a patchwork of places. Like, Rich would go into Florida sometimes, but he always made sure Western PA was recruited heavily. He always made sure the DMV area was recruited heavily. He always would go up into Jersey. And so it's a weird place to recruit, because you almost have to be a Big Ten recruiter and an SEC recruiter at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And they would always, when they were, when West Virginia was great, they hit Florida pretty hard, right? I mean,
yeah,
they would go down.
Geno Smith, Stedman Bailey, like they had some really good players. Noel Devine, they had some very good players out of Florida. And I would imagine that Rich will keep that up. I'm pretty sure he still has the place down near Naples. So probably wants to visit that every once in a while. And he's gotten some good recruits out of that area. So.
Absolutely. Well, Andy, you know, it's we're kind of sitting here in that pre-spring ball situation. We still have another transfer portal window. So I never like looking at teams for the fall yet. We don't even know what the teams are going to really look like. But just from a top couple of storyline perspectives in the Big 12 to wrap it up, what are you watching the next few weeks as we get ready for spring ball that will define this conference this year?
What's Texas Tech going to look like with all these transfers? Because they finished last season hot. They finished on a roll. Yeah. And so when you add in this extra bit of talent, does that put them over the top? BYU, did they keep this rolling? Because they bring back more than anybody in this conference. And it feels like they should be able to just keep rolling. I mean, they were very close to winning the league this year. They bring back more than anybody else. So I'm confident that they're going to be good again. And Baylor is one that I'm fascinated by because I think Jake Spavital did a great job in his first year. Sawyer Robertson, that was not the original plan at QB1, but turned out to be great. And so that was another team that finished the season really hot. Like when they lost to Colorado, I was like, ooh, I don't know if Dave Aranda is going to make it.
Yeah.
And then the way they finished was so good. And if they can keep that momentum rolling, then I think there's a really good chance that Baylor's in that mix on the final day again.
Most unpredictable conference, though, right? Still by a mile.
Yeah. Well, and you notice I'm not making any sort of definitive statements about who I think is going to win because I don't know. I mean, let's go down the list. And bearing in mind, I would not have had Arizona State on my list this time last year. So, but let's go down the list of teams I think can win the conference. BYU, Baylor, Texas Tech, Kansas State, Iowa State, Arizona State. I'm at six right now.
Yeah.
I'm at six right now.
KU fans may say Jalen Daniels coming back. I don't know. Right.
Well, and the thing is, like, KU last year, they had some pretty tough losses early. They had a lot of one-score losses that if the ball had bounced a little bit differently, we're looking at their season entirely differently. So, I'm not counting Lance Leipold out of anything. And what about TCU? Like,
yes.
They actually finished the season pretty strong. Like, Sonny Dykes hadn't forgotten how to coach. So, I'm excited. You mentioned Scott Frost a little bit ago. And I didn't even talk about him. Like, I don't know if he comes in and immediately makes UCF as good as it was when he left. I think part of the problem is UCF went up in class and maybe wasn't quite ready roster-wise to go up in class. And I think that might not be quite fixed yet. That's something that they've still got to work on. But, you know, the week-in, week-out grind of a Big 12 schedule versus an American Conference schedule is different. And I don't think they've quite gotten where they need to be yet on the lines of scrimmage, you know, to be able to hold up yet.
Well, it's going to be a fun few weeks. Spring ball. Can't wait for it to finally get here. And Andy, we'd love to check in the spring, my man. Thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Andy Staples on three. You know where to find him on Three Sports. Check him out there. We're Heartland College Sports. I'm Pete Mundo. You know how to find us. Subscribe to the channel. Leave us that 5-star rating and review. And we'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Shop Superstart Premium, Extreme, or Platinum Batteries at O'Reilly Auto Parts and get up to a $15 gift card after rebate. O'Reward members can also get a $5 reward with their battery purchase. For power, performance, and reliability, choose Superstart. Only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.